All right, I'm reading from Proverbs 31 from the New King James Version. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, son of my womb, and what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to the women, nor your ways to that which destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless, in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax, and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes a tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates.
Appreciate that reading, really do. And happy Mother's Day, moms. Really. My mother taught me a lot when I was when I was growing up. She taught me about anticipation. Just wait till your father gets home. She taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when we get home. My mother taught me how to meet a challenge. What were you thinking? Answer me when I'm talking to you. Don't talk back to me. My mother taught me about logic. If you fall off that swing and break your neck, you're not going to go to the store with me. Just incredible. My mother taught me about medical science. If you don't stop crossing your I's, they're going to freeze that way. Yeah, my mother taught me about thinking ahead. If you don't pass the spelling test, you'll never get a good job. I feel that way too. My mother taught me about humor. When the lawnmower cuts your toes off, don't come running to me. My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. My mother taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. My mother taught me about my roots. You think you were born in a barn? My mother taught me about the wisdom of age. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. At least, I see it. Last but not least, my mother taught me about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Then you'll see what it's like. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mom's Day, that's for sure. Susanna Wesley raised 19 kids. She spent an hour each week with each one of those children, 19 children. And out of those, those kids were learning Latin, they were learning Greek at the age of five. Wow, I'm behind the curve, that's for sure. So two of those kids that were ministered to by Susanna Wesley changed the world. They changed the world, John and Charles Wesley. We still sing his songs. Oh, for a thousand tongues we sing our great Redeemer's praise. Charles Wesley wrote that on the back of a horse, riding a horse, and then he wrote that hymn. And just an incredible, incredible thing that she has. What a treasure. What a treasure moms are. I mean, what a treasure moms are. And I'd like us to look at the passage that Julio read in Proverbs chapter 31. And this is a this is one of my favorite passages, I have to admit. I wrote in here, especially at verse 10, this is my wife. This is Barb. This is my, and I know Barb goes, no. Oh, forget it, Chris. Don't talk about me. You know, but tough noogies, Barb. You. And so I think of my daughter-in-law too. There's a lot of women here. There are a lot of women here that fulfill 10 through 31. They really do. There are a lot of women in this chapel that do that. But in verses 1 through 9, some commentary guys would say the King Lemuel is really Solomon. They don't know anything. Nobody knows anything about King Lemuel, or however you say his name, or the other guy, Agar. Nobody knows anything about these guys. So that's why a lot of commentators would say that this is really Solomon doing a, I don't know, it's not a stage name, but a, what do you call it? A false name? A what? Pseudo name. Okay, so yeah. And then he's really, and he noticed the contrasting in, in verses 1 through 9. He's talking about what a king shouldn't do, you know, drink strong wine, be involved with women in terms of, if Solomon's writing this, I don't know, how many wives did he have? Yeah, too many. Yes, he had too many wives. But then all of a sudden he shifts gears and starts in verse 10. And I'm going to put it this way. The godly woman displays three characteristics of virtue that are a blessing to herself, to her family, and to the world. Displays three characteristics. And what are these characteristics? We're going to be all over this 10 through 31 because I've grouped them in certain categories. But she displays the characteristic, the godly woman displays the characteristic of faithfulness. And we see that in a number of verses. And then she displays the characteristic of kindness. And then she displays the characteristic of humility. I'd like us to look at the issue of faithfulness first. She displays the issue or the characteristic of faithfulness. And notice what it says in verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. So she's faithful in her performance or her work. She's faithful in doing that. She doesn't stop on this. And we just look at this. And she's faithful in her terms of her performance. Verse 14, she is like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. I guess I've got to tell you, husbands, your wives do stuff, and they do it willingly. This is an amazing thing to me. And they keep doing it. They keep on doing it, and they're thinking of you. They're thinking of the family, and they're consistently doing that. And that is not only faithfulness, but that's really, and the best way of on this is if it's unto God. They're doing it unto God. Look at verses 16 through 19. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. Sounds Italian to me. Very Italian. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She must work out, you know, just to keep prime. And she perceives that her merchandise is good. Her lamp goes not out by night. So it's dust even into the night. From dawn to not dusk, it's even further. And she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She's working. Some people say that the staff there is a, you know, it's not a spinning wheel. They're doing it by hand. She's doing this by hand. It's not a machine. She's doing all this, getting this fabric, working it out and doing it that way. She's constantly working. Constant, perpetual motion. So faithful in her performance in that regard, or her work, and then also faithful in her provision. Notice verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household are clothed with scarlet. Now that I mean, in this day, this is about written about 950 B.C. So we're not going down to the outlet store and getting something that is really good. They're making it. They're making this. Or they're purchasing something that was handmade, because everything was handmade. You know, everything was handmade. And so she's scarlet, too, also is very costly. Very costly, and probably maybe thicker, I don't know, it wasn't cheap, but probably was very good quality. And that's what she is doing. She is working at her provision. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. So she's doing needlework on this. She's going through it, and she's looking at, or weaving it herself, and the thickness of this. That's a lot of work, a tremendous amount of work, and she's faithful in this provision. And then her clothing is silk and purple. Wow. this is something of high cost for sure. Absolutely high cost. So she's faithful in her provision for her family. And then also, she's like that, the Bible talks about the bear robbed of her whelps. Don't mess with the woman's children, right? She is very protective indeed. Look at verse 27. She looketh to the ways of her household. She eateth not the bread of idleness. She is very protective. She looks at those kidlets, and also her husband too. Also her husband. She is very protective. So faithfulness is a characteristic of this godly woman. That's what it is. Faithfulness is a characteristic of this godly woman. The reason I wrote this thing on in my Bible, I got it right here. It says, thank God is my Barbara. She is constantly. I mean, it never stops. She put in the laundry room. We have a bathroom / laundry room, and we put on the wall laundry. How does it go? What is it? Wash, dry, fold, repeat. And it's repetitive. It is very repetitive, you know. You know, how's that spin cycle going, and all that kind of stuff. We have a tub. You come into our house from the garage, and we have a tub. We used to have the washer and dryer there until we put into that new thing. And that tub has little ribs. As you wash your hands, you look in the, inside the tub, and you got these little ribs. I'm going, what's the ribs for? Yeah, wash it. You know, washing the clothes and beating the clothes up and all that kind of stuff and try to get them clean and all that. Well, that's a lot of work. That is a lot of work. It is amazing. Faithfulness. Philip Brooks once said, character may be manifested in the great moments, but it is made in the small ones. Character. We look at people that preach, that do fantastic things. But understand this is a true axiom. If they're married, it's the woman behind the man. It's the woman behind the man that is really great, I think, in the Lord's eyes. I mean, we can do great things, you know. It's the woman who's doing it. I think of wives of military guys, you know, wives of military men who have, you know, done. I'm reading the story of Chuck Yeager, you know. His wife raised the kids. He was off battling. He was off on war. He was all that kind of stuff, right? And she was raising those kids with the broken arm, with all that unbelievable faithfulness. I don't know if Glennis Yeager was a Christian or not. I don't know. But this is what it is. It's character may be manifested in the great moments, but it is made in the small ones. Do we recognize the faithfulness of godly women? Do we recognize that? And not only does Solomon show us this, but he faithfulness, but also she displays the character of kindness. Look at verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Wow. You know, she's kind to her husband. She's very kind to her husband. She ministers to her husband. She's gentle when he is inconsiderate, when he is all these things. I'm speaking from experience, you know. When I'm inconsiderate, when I'm, you know, not even thinking of her and how, you know, has she had a tough day, etc. I can trust her. I can really trust her. The heart of a husband doth safely trust in her, so that he has no need of spoil. And that's just not the physical stuff. It's in the heart. It's the heart. I was made aware of a situation where a brother in Christ cheated on his wife. Just, you know, she can't trust him now. That trust has been breached. This godly woman in this passage does never let that ever happen to her husband, because she is focused on her husband, not somebody else. And this is an amazing thing. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Just amazing. The faithfulness and the kindness that she is showing. in that. You know, it is an amazing thing. I've not done too much marriage counseling, but I have done some. And one of the things is I have always said, and Barb and I, when we first were engaged, we talked about this, that marriage is not a 50-50 proposition. It is not a 50-50 proposition. It is a 100% proposition. I am to love her and care for her and minister to her even if she doesn't return it. That is what I have to do. And I have no expectations of her returning that. That's 100%, 100%. You know, marriage is 50-50. You know, no, it isn't. It's 100-100. It's a total giving of yourself. And she does that. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And praise God for your parents, 52 years. That's fantastic. You don't hear that much anymore about that. That is just amazing. So she's kind to her husband and then also kind to her household and maidens. Look at verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night and gives food to her household and a portion to her maidens. So she's thinking of her own household. I've got to provide. I've got to minister to my household. She gets up and does this way before everybody else is up and getting their great REM stage sleep and all this kind of stuff. And she's up working. She's providing, and not only for her, a household, but also the other people, the maids, the maidens that are working with her. She's doing it. She's providing for them and ministering to them. The kindness to her household and to her maidens. And also, notice verse 20. She is kind to the poor and needy. Notice the language on this. The King James puts it this way. She stretches out her hand to the poor. I think to myself, okay, what does that mean? She stretches out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Why the differences? Why, you know, and I thought to myself, what is that? So what she's doing is she's offering to the poor. She's helping the poor by giving whatever they need to get. Then the needy, helping the needy, helping picking them up, ministering to them in a physical way, being a blessing that way. She's doing that. She's looking at their needs as well. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. And then also, she's kind in her speech. Oh, man. This is a biggie. She opens her mouth with wisdom. And in her tongue, I love this, the way this is phrased. In her tongue is the law of kindness. Is the law of kindness. Robert, Bob, your wife was very kind. She was very kind to me. She was very nice. I didn't hear a bad word come out of her mouth. You know, she was very sweet. And some people say when you start having mental issues, the real person really comes out. This is what they say about people who get drunk. How are they really now? They uninhibited, and they'll just let it out, right? Well, Mary was suffering with the onset of a mental disease, but she was so kind. She was so sweet. She was just incredible. Just an amazing woman. But this is the godly woman. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. I think of Nehemiah. When Artaxerxes asked him what was wrong, he's the cupbearer, and he's got a sad countenance, and Artaxerxes, the king, asked, what's wrong? And you know what I love about that passage? It says and he prayed for wisdom. Right on the spot. Show me what to do. This is what a godly woman does. This is what a godly woman does. And I think to myself, and I, you know, this is talking about a few people, but I want to read to you a little thing here. It's called Kinder Than Kind, if you don't mind me reading this to you. Dr. Schaefer was also there in person, okay? When Francis Schaefer's films, How Shall We Then Live, hit Chicago in the 70s, I joined more than 4,000, this is Jerry B. Jenkins writing, 4,000 in the Airy Crown Theater at McCormick Place to see it. Dr. Schaefer was also there in person. At the end of the film, the great Christian philosopher and thinker took questions from the audience. At one point, a young man in the balcony began a question in a halting, nearly incoherent growl. Clearly, he suffered from cerebral palsy. Dr. Schaefer closed his eyes in concentration as the question went on and on. I understood maybe 1/4 of the words. When the man finished, Dr. Schaefer said, I am sorry, I didn't understand the last 3 words. The young man repeated them. Forgive me, Dr. Schaefer said, the last word again, please. After the young man repeated it, Dr. Schaefer restated the question and answered it with the time and dignity that he had accorded all the other questions. When the young man asked yet another lengthy question, some in the audience shook their heads as if irritated that he should take so much time. But Dr. Schaefer repeated the process, being sure he understood every word and answering it fully. It struck me that he had been kinder than the incident called for. He could have asked to speak to the young man later, but everything he had expounded in his book and film was tested by this seemingly insignificant incident. He had been kinder than kind. A few years ago, at a writer's conference, my wife and I were in the cafeteria conversing with a local pastor and his wife when a lady with cerebral palsy was wheeled into the table and her tray food set before her. The pastor greeted her and asked her if joining us was the highlight of her day. He introduced her all around and joked with her. Somehow it came out that they had just met 2 days before. The rest of us sat there trying to avoid embarrassing her, not looking as she was awkwardly pushing food around her plate, spilling most of it on the way to her mouth, and left most of it on her face. Her new friend, the pastor, took it in stride. He didn't look away. Without fanfare, he casually put on his own spoon at the edge of her plate so she could scoop up the mashed potatoes without losing them. He looked at her when he was talking with her, and when too much food accumulated around her face, he casually wiped it away with his own napkin. It would have been kind to have simply included her, talked with her, treated her as a peer, but he nurtured her, protected her, helped her without making much of a show of it. He had been kinder than kind. A few years ago, I was in a convention waiting to chat with Rosie Greer. You ever remember Rosie Greer? He was with a fearsome foursome of the L.A. Rams. Rosie Greer, they had a whole bunch. Deacon Jones, these guys were the beasts of the NFL. Me and this guy was like 6'9", 6'10", and just fast as a cat, and about 350, something like that. Just Rosie Greer. Okay, so Rosie Greer was there, the massive former pro football player, now a minister. Just before I got to him, a woman brought her young teen son, who clearly had Down syndrome, for a handshake and an autograph from Rosie. The big man could have simply smiled, shaken his hand, and signed. But he did more. He dropped to one knee, putting him at eye level with the boy Rosie, put his arms around him, pulled him close, and spoke to him quietly. I couldn't help myself. I edged closer. "Are you a Christian?" Rosie asked. "Yes, sir." "Praise the Lord. Can I pray with you?" The boy was overcome, like me. All he could do was nod. And as they prayed, the mother wept. When she tried to thank Rosie, he simply winked at her. Then to the boy, he said, "You take care of your mama now, you hear?" "Yes, sir." Oh, that we might be caught being kinder than kind. And I thought to myself, that's the godly woman. The law of kindness is in her mouth. Wisdom comes out of her. And I've seen this, that's nothing new for some of the ladies that sit here who have cared and ministered to people and have been an incredible blessing. Because not only does she display faithfulness and kindness, the characteristics of faithfulness and kindness, but also she displays humility. She displays humility. Look at verses 9 through 16. Look at verses 23 and 25. Humble with her clothing, strength, and honor. Notice this. Her husband is known in the gates. By the way, when it says known in the gates in the scripture, especially in the Old Testament, that means the seat of power for that village or for that area. That's the seat of power. I mean, this guy is well known. This guy is not the mayor or something like that, but he is civilly, he's one of the elders there. This is what he's doing. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Notice verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. Wow. And she shall rejoice in time to come. You know, the rock guy, I forget who, I think it was the Temptations. I think it was the Temptations that said, beauty, let's see, how does that go? Beauty is skin deep, yeah, yeah, yeah. Beauty is only skin deep, oh yeah. Well, that's reflecting of what the Bible has to say. You know, what is the beauty of holiness is the thing that is the most attractive. The beauty of holiness, having a person who is godly. Strength and honor are her clothing. I think of that movie where you have Maximus, and they're about to attack the Germans in Gladiator, right? Right? And he's the general, and he's going down the line, and he's going, strength and honor, strength and honor, strength and honor. Yeah, strength and honor, strength and honor, yeah, strength and honor. That's you ladies. Strength and honor are her clothing. And she shall rejoice in the time to come. And then notice verse 29. You know, humble in her being the standard think about this. You know, this is really kind of weird. You know, she's proud about her humility. No, that's you've lost it then. I mean, you don't have the humility going when you're, oh yes, I'm something else, you know. No, proud and then many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. You excel them all. That is amazing. Thou excellest them all. And now this person is a standard bearer of what humility is and virtuousness is, because she excels everybody else. Thou excellest them all. You know, I think of Philippians chapter 2, and I think of this one. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. The greatest standard for humility is the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest standard. And she is replicating that 950 years prior to him and coming to the earth. And then she is humble in her receiving of praise. Notice verse 30 and 31. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. The gates. She's going to be known in the gates. This is one of the great reasons, I think, one of the great things the United States has done is to institute one day a year, and it should be more, actually. Maybe it should be a monthly thing, a weekly thing. But Mother's Day. A Mother's Day. Honoring moms. Honoring moms like crazy. So we've looked at the faithfulness, we've looked at the kindness and humility. We let us therefore observe, understand, and emulate, all of us emulate these three characteristics the godly woman displays. We need to do that. Oliver Wendell Holmes once said this: What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. Character. Character of faithfulness, kindness, and humility. May the Lord really help us. Help us to learn from our wives and from the women that are doing this. Father, we thank you so much for moms. We wouldn't be here without them. And we thank you so much for your grace, for designing not only the marriage institution, which was really a illustration of Christ loving the church, but also, Lord God, how it keeps going until the return of your Son. And I just pray, Lord God, that this would not only be perpetuated in the Christian realm, but also in this nation, godliness. Your word tells us that godliness exalts a nation. And we thank you for the godly moms who exhibit this character, faithfulness, humility, and kindness. Lord, I just pray that you would bless this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.